Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is in between episode 59 and legit episode 60. We are not talking about a single particular retro video game today. In fact, we are going to be talking about 30 retro video games today.
And somehow fitting it into one podcast.
Yeah, this might not be the best idea. We usually take approximately 42 minutes to talk about one game. But today we're going to talk about 30. And the reason we're doing so is because we're doing another retro recap. This will be our second one. We did one between episodes 27 and 28. Just thought it would be a good time there, right between 27 and 28.
Love those numbers.
For some reason, we have waited far too long. Really, guys? I think
our
discussion is that this should probably take place somewhere around 15 or 20.
Yeah, I'd say 20 is a good. No more than 20.
20 is definitely even a stretch, but no more than 20.
Right.
We're doing 30. 31 even, maybe. Well, like we're just gonna take the rest of your afternoon and talk
to
you about
video games.
We did
close to 30 on our first retro recap. We did 27 episodes worth of looking back.
You know, that's how math works.
It is.
So we did do a lot the first one, and it was a lengthy episode, I think coming out to around just over an hour. And so we're just going to get straight into it here. We don't want much hoorah here at the beginning to waste any of our time. I think we're just going to jump straight in. Really, the basics are that we're going to talk about these games and these episodes so that this could potentially serve as a good jumping on point for those viewers that haven't yet listened to us and or wanted to kind of get caught up without having to listen necessarily to each and every one of the episodes. Plus, this might spark some interest in a particular episode or remind you of a video game that you played as a kid that you want to go back and listen to that episode.
It's always fun for us too, just as a retrospective. Like, going back and reliving these things is really enjoyable. So I hope you guys will indulge us that.
And so let's begin with lucky number episode 28. That was the first one after our first retro recap, and it was Home Alone 2 Lost in New York.
I've got such fond, I say that barely, memories of playing this game on the actual Game Boy as a kid, but then couldn't end up recreating those memories playing it through this week.
I think this was two different versions, right?
This was multiple different versions, but I think Kenny and I played Super Nintendo and you played Genesis, and I don't think we even found out until like halfway through the episode.
talking about different games.
But not only that, the game that Nolan played was worlds apart from the one that we actually played.
So different. Mm-hmm. And we can just assume for all of these episodes that y'all played the Nintendo version while I played the Sega version, if there was two versions. So we don't have to always.
I would say for the most part, but on a lot of these games that we played, the Genesis and the Super Nintendo version were comparable. But I remember this game being completely different. Absolutely different. Like, you threw things at people and killed people, and we just jumped over vacuum cleaners.
I mean, we got to like drop stuff on the ground, didn't we?
That's not interesting enough to take away, though. That's
no, they were completely different games. We rode the elevator a whole bunch for way too long of sequences, and it was just ridiculous.
Actually took us the amount of time it would take to ride an actual elevator 30 flights.
It's so true. For as good as this movie was, I wish this game was better.
Speaking of movies, episode 29 was The Lion King. So we had a back-to-back movie games.
So good. The circle of life, man. So
good.
The thing that they did right, just to start off with this one, is that they released this game after, or at least in conjunction with the movie. If you recall, Home Alone 2, the video game came out before the movie, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
But for the Lion King movie, for the Lion King game, it came out after the animated Disney classic.
Which was great and really allowed it to play on so many of those things. You got some of your classic songs, you know, so the movie nostalgia actually worked for you in this case.
Voice actors.
Yeah, wonderful sound. and just smooth, like fluid, buttery, mechanical.
But then the colors too, guys. Like everything about this game just nailed it. I remember Kenny and Mai, I think our favorite stage was Can't Wait to Be King, the one with the animals, the color, the music.
It's exactly
Nolan,
like the movie.
You loved the Elephant Graveyard.
Yeah, that's just so creative.
It was just a great game, and we all three gave it our New Game Plus status.
Week after, we jumped into arguably one of the more classic games we've played. Episode 30 went over Mario Kart 64.
And you remarked in that episode that this game just kind of shattered all records. Like it sold the second highest number of units of any video game on the Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. And we had that discussion trying to determine what kind of game it actually is. I mean, racing obviously, but vehicular combat, kind of like vigilante.
It's not vehicular combat. No. Don't even try and lump it in.
Yeah, but we did decide, or at least agreed, that not being able to play it with friends anymore easily causes it in some way to age somewhat poorly, but at the same time...
Yeah, I mean, it's a social game.
Yeah, so definitely a social game, and we not being able to do that as easily anymore definitely detracts some from its value.
Absolutely, but by far a classic, and one that's like so well known, I don't know that we even need to comment on it. If there was a game that I had to like put money on that the majority of our viewers have played, it would probably have been that one.
And it definitely wouldn't have been episode 31, Shining Force.
Oh, come on.
I think, and it wouldn't have been the one that most people remember. Like, this is the one, honestly, as I was looking back over the list, I had to go back and listen to a little bit of this episode and even look at the Wikipedia page because I had forgotten most about this game out of the past 30 games we played.
Yeah. It was one of those Sega classics that I had accidentally played on PC. Well, actually, I played the second one, but it made me go back and want to play the first one, so it's a difficult RPG. I remember having a lot of trouble with this one.
It's reminiscent of one of the some of the early Final Fantasy games, mm-hmm. but it was largely inspired by Dragon Quest, which was one of Kenny's all-time favorites.
And you have a million party members, or like you can.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always a little frustrating.
I remember the story being pretty good, the color, the look, even some of the music being good, but I do remember mechanically that it was a little rough to maneuver. Do you remember, guys, that
a lot
like
of menuing.
To use an item, you had to like get into a menu, shift it from one person to another, and then you had to scroll down. Like it was a lot of work there. I remember Kenny didn't approve of this game, but both Nolan and I said yes, and so it did get our New Game Plus status.
Yeah, didn't do much for me, but you know, to each their own.
Bible Adventures, episode 32. I did not like this game. I don't think any of us did, though, right?
I felt like this game was exactly what I expected it to be, based on the title.
Wait, this is a classic, guys.
Okay. I like it because of that just marketing campaign that they had. I remember there being that goofy commercial and...
But not only the marketing campaign, don't you remember how sketchy this company was avoiding the Nintendo licensing?
Oh, right. Yeah, they took off the licensing.
Totally.
Why, though?
It was like, I remember they couldn't put like the Nintendo logo on there. So it was like, they had to go around it. I don't know. Nintendo would not give it. So they had to like cheat to make this game playable on the Super Nintendo.
Those guys are either hilarious or criminals.
We're both.
On the Nintendo, that's what I meant. Definitely not
Super
Nintendo.
No, it was a Nintendo title.
Hilarious and criminals, but it was three games in one. Noah's Ark, Baby Moses, and David and Goliath, all equally terrible.
Okay, real quick, which one was your favorite?
No,
Baby Moses.
Of the three.
Turning it off.
no
Noah's
way.
Ark, collecting the collecting
Absolutely.
The animals.
Collecting animals. Noah's Ark, for sure. It takes us to episode 33. We just quit talking about that one. Speedball.
Speedball.
Just not a drug.
It does sound like a drug, doesn't it? This game was fun. I had a lot of fun with this game. It's very old feeling, but it's like that competitive sport. Like hockey, kind of.
Well, and I remember it being one of the games that I disliked most.
Yeah, I think I was alone in this one.
Yeah, I think you were the only one who liked it.
Just a really cool look to it.
But like, there was, you couldn't switch your characters. It was just whoever was closest to the ball.
Yeah.
And so, the goal and the goalie is attached to the defender that you're currently in control of.
Yeah,
so
that part was rough, but there was something about it that I was just like, this is kind of fun. And I played it a long time.
It was so bad.
Yeah, I just feel like that game had the capabilities to do more as a system and as a game, but they didn't implement them.
Yeah, I like the idea of it a lot. I thought it was a great concept, but it was not a good game.
Which could take us just to episode 35, and we'll skip over...
Oh my goodness, I will fight you.
There's no reason to talk about 34.
I will fight you, of course
there really is.
It's
no reason.
One
it's
of
like,
the single best games of all time, literally.
Guys, it's StarCraft. Okay, we're on the same page, let's go.
StarCraft, barely anybody played it. Episode 35.
Oh my goodness, no, help me talk about this game.
Kenny,
let me relive this moment.
It's amazing.
Let's talk about this. Is this the game that Kenny sent viruses to our computers?
Yes.
No. Okay.
No. This is the game.
Are you
that
still salty?
He sent me a virus to be able to play it. I get in finally with
this
the virus.
This is great.
And then he and Dustin started a game.
You're still mad.
Pause. Kenny got it to work on mine and his computer. It got it to work on both of ours. And he was in the process of helping Nolan set it up. But it started taking too long, and so Nolan thought he was still trying to get it to work, and Kenny starts the game between him and I.
I had
what
to play. It was like going back and having a drug, and I don't know.
Kenny, you ruined StarCraft 1 for me.
I'm pretty sure Nolan didn't talk to you for a week after that.
Yeah, that was pretty much... That's maybe the saltiest I've ever seen Nolan. But, like, it's such a good game. Holy cow.
Do you guys know who Ken Gagne is?
Yeah, he's the third guy on this podcast with us.
Yeah,
Ken.
He was our guest in the next episode, Load Runner, for the Apple II, which was dope. That game is really cool.
It sick game, awesome guest. Ken knows everything about Apple II,
yeah.
You know?
I think he knows everything about everything, but especially about Apple II.
Right, and Nolan, stage creation.
Yeah.
I remember either playing your games or watching you build those, playing your stages or watching you build them. Yeah.
I was streaming League and you were watching me play League, but while people were in Champion Select, I had it pulled up and I was making stages trying to like, I was doing like micro stages, like really tiny spaces trying to beat it. So fun.
It reminded me some of Chip's Challenge, which was a game that you played a lot, Kenny, as a kid, right?
Uh-huh. Different, but super fun game.
Yeah, different, but puzzle and, bricks and ladders, run and dig. It's an old game, but it was a super great game and one that we all agreed on in regards to New Game Plus status.
Yeah, so simple, but so intelligent that even being really old graphically and such... It's still one that you could enjoy all day long. On the other hand, episode 36...
was not a game that you could enjoy all day long, nor for even 5 minutes.
No, we played Goal!
You should have kept going for a long time. I wouldn't have stopped you.
I know.
The best part of this episode was the intro, though. That's the one where we were talking about which house in Harry Potter we'd be sorted into.
Yeah.
And which had nothing to do with anything, but then I just made the remark that it's virtually impossible to truly find out which house we'd be sorted into, just as it's virtually impossible to score and goal.
That's the worst segue.
Is that the worst segue you've made?
No, that's one of the better ones. That's great.
There are
really good segues. This game though is so difficult, and I did not score once. Nolan, I remember you scoring a few times just because you're a video game
maybe
god.
I still see it in my mind, just looking so
I blocked
boring,
it out,
and it was yeah, it's worse.
Just a bad game. And then we played Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Turtles in Time as episode 37. Where you choose one of the turtles and you fight through the Foot Clan to the bosses of each and every stage. And Nolan, you did a first play with this one.
I did, and you should go check it out if you haven't. Kenny,
yeah, it's on.
Definitely
on our,
hasn't.
It's on our YouTube channel that we just have a few videos there. But you didn't get very far. You got kind of stuck.
Was this the one game Nolan was bad at?
I wasn't bad at it. It's just. I mean, I couldn't record all of it. It was gonna.
You're
take
a little. You weren't the best at this game.
Whatever. It's a button masher.
What was cool about this game is that, like, obviously you can play it solo, which is still fun, but playing two players on this, that's two of the Turtles, or even if you're at the arcade, you can play up to four, which is the whole Ninja Turtle crew. Like, that's just an awesome concept. Yeah. And they just set it up super well.
Turtles games were for sure co-op, like, way more fun. And a lot of games didn't do co-op well, and, like, nobody wants to just take turns playing video games, and so the few games that did it well really earned themselves a place.
Star Fox 64. Another really big title. All these big games are on the 64. Mario Kart and Star Fox.
There are a lot of huge ones, but yeah. to be fair, Star Fox 64 was not the first in its series.
That is fair.
Star Fox obviously was its original and a very successful Mario Kart. Game. Yeah. Oh, yeah, true. Mario Kart 64 was
the 64
wasn't its
just
first.
put everybody on the map. But yeah, this game, it's a fun game. And if you haven't played it before, I think I remember saying this, if you never played the game and you try to play this one, it's not going to be that great.
Yeah, my thing with this was that I feel like it just aged poorly with the graphics and even the gameplay. There's so many things I like about it, like the different routes in this game, allowing you to have a different gaming experience. Like, we all did something different. We all played different stages, did a diverse planet selection. But I remember not giving it my vote for New Game Plus status. I just thought that it gets too much hype, and I believe it still got our vote overall.
Yeah, I gave it New Game Plus for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's iconic, and there's reasons why it's iconic. I just don't think it holds up to the test of time.
Something that happened in this episode made me a little salty, if you want to talk about Nolan Salt. I don't remember who it was that wrote in, but they said they were saying who we were in the crew.
Oh, yeah.
And I was Slippy, and that's not true.
Yeah, and then you didn't talk the rest of the episode.
You got so mad. You got to be able to take it. I'm the guy that got Big the Catted.
Yeah, but that hurt your feelings too.
Yeah, I'm clearly not still bitter.
Hey, if we go back, I do remember you also got Marv in the Home Alone 2 video game.
Oh.
Episode 39, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the Movie, the Game.
The Game. What a title.
This just shouldn't have been made.
No,
you know?
No. Oh, I played this on Sega.
Yeah, it was another one where you played on Genesis and we played on Super Nintendo, and they were different in that you actually got to be in a Zord, and we never even got to do that.
Yeah, we got ripped off.
I feel like the Nintendo one sucked, but the Sega one sucked too. It's not like I was over here playing the best game of my life.
Both bad games. Yeah. Ours, the Super Nintendo one, was the two-tiered one, you know, where it's kind of like really set up for multiplayer.
Right.
You can jump up to the tier or down, and if you're on the lower tier, enemies just pass by you on the top tier, and vice versa. I remember about this game that everything is like almost, like this is the almost game. Like the music is almost Power Rangers. The Rangers themselves almost look like the Rangers we know and love from the television series, and just goes on and on. Like almost, this game is almost good, but it's definitely
I really kind of wanted to like it, but just couldn't.
But episode 40 is a game that is just loved, you know, universally by all. It was Super Mario World, and it was actually featuring Jeff Rubin.
Yeah, awesome, dude.
Yeah,
can't
fun
believe
episode.
He was on our show. It's really cool.
Yeah, he's got a podcast of his own, which is just an amazing podcast. But he joined us, and we talked about one of his favorite games as a kid, and most a lot of people's favorite game. Like, guys, this was the introduction of Yoshi, of the Cape, of like so many things. This was the game that I feel like is the Mario game that most people look to and love and revere.
Looking back, I don't even know if I said this in the episode, but looking back, it's the game that gamers love, but it's also the game that people that don't play video games know and love. You know, it like touched every person when it came out, and it's awesome.
I'm weirdly defensive about Mario 3, and so this is a great game but every time we bring it up, I'm like, I don't know if it was the best Mario though, but it is such a good game, like and super awesome having Jeff Rubin on as a guest. You couldn't say too many good things about that game.
Episode 41 was Earthbound, the weird Nintendo thingy that happened that people kind of love to hate or hate to love.
I love that you described it like that, because that's exactly what the feeling of the game is.
It really is. Like, that's the tone. This one was such a gem to me. I don't know.
Dude, yes, it is.
I was not expecting this game to be what it was. And, like, I mean, it wasn't as, like, revolutionary, like, how did I miss this, as, like, Chrono Trigger was, because I really was just blown away that I had never played Chrono Trigger when we played that. But this game was just fun and quirky and so unique. And, yeah, like, it was great.
I dare someone to tell me that soundtrack sucks. That's the best soundtrack in video game, almost.
Soundtrack and artwork, both of them were just absolutely spectacular. And then remember, like, this game's, teaches something. It doesn't push it in your face, but it's teaching
the underlying
lessons.
Themes. Dude, but that's awesome.
I remember it being a stretch. Like, I don't. It's definitely not a game for everybody, because it's weird, man.
Not at all.
It's weird.
Really weird.
It takes what is normal in this genre and just flips it on its head and does a lot of weird things with it.
That's why I love it.
Game that's not weird because everybody knows it. Monopoly.
Oh, this was such a mistake.
We played this on the Super Nintendo, correct?
Yeah, listen, it's cool that you could play a board game with AI. Here's the thing. Maybe you guys had friends when you were young, but if someone didn't have a friend and wanted to play their classic board game, you can't just set up a stuffed teddy bear across from
you. Listen, board games aren't for everyone. If you don't have friends, don't play board games. Find something else to do.
I absolutely love Monopoly. Like, it's one of my favorite board games, maybe of all time. Top five for sure. And this was just miserable.
See, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I still don't. I think that it doesn't beat sitting down at a board game and playing in that regards. But I still think it did well for what it was trying to do. But I think we all came around at the end and said, you know what, just actually play the board game.
I'll give it to you, Dustin. The board game's good. And maybe your argument is good. So anybody listening to this who has never actually had a single friend in their entire life might want to play this as a video game. Otherwise, play it as a board game, do it correctly so that you won't hate it, and that's that.
Speaking of friends, you've got a friend in me.
Perfect.
With episode 43, Toy Story.
This is why you do the segues?
There's a snack in my boot.
So good, Nolan.
Oh,
are you kidding me, guys?
I've got a Buzz Lightyear one.
You would have the best quotes and, like, nail
he's
it.
He's got the best impersonation, even when it comes to impersonating toys. This game... guys, help me out here, because we did not give this game our New Game Plus status, yet I felt like, looking back, that this game does so many things well. Sticks close to the movie, has the voices, has the character models, but what was it that just didn't work here?
It's just weirdly disjointed.
Like the gameplay?
I think I gave it a game plus, though. It's just... It is a strangely put together game. However, I remember it being pretty sweet because it did, like, actual scenes from the movie, which I super appreciate. If a company can pull that off in a video game such as Lion King, bravo, and you got my vote. I don't know why you guys hated it.
I don't know. It was just a weird one to me. Then we have episode 44, Kirby's Dream Land, if we do want to see a game that clicked.
Yeah, so this one was this straight up Game Boy?
This was straight up Game Boy. We did a couple of straight up Game Boy games, but not many.
I love straight up Game Boy games.
You love when the Game Boy games are straight up?
Yeah, the straight up ones are so straight
up. Guys, I'm going to be straight up with you.
Be straight up. This Listen, game just worked on all fronts. This was before
really
Kirby was pink, dude. This was this was one of the earliest Kirby games, and everything about them. It's a brief game. I remember it being a very quick playthrough, but being an awesome one.
In his defense, it's monochromatic, so you don't know he's not pink. Like, if he's light pink, he would still show up the same way on that screen.
Not if he was black, though.
We're not going to get into this argument. It's a great, great game. And it
Classic
was on Game,
game.
Boy, so get wrecked, all other newer consoles that make crappy games.
Yeah, this one was straight up Game Boy.
Straight up play this game.
Guys, I want to believe. In... Aliens, because we played the X-Files.
Let's X that one out.
Like, you're trying to Dustin it, and you don't have it.
this was a fun timing because my wife and I were trying to rewatch some of the first series of X-Files, and that's when this game got pulled on our randomizer. And so we sat down together and tried to play this unbelievably awkward, like, what kind of creation game is this? Not that it's completely bad, but I'm just saying it was a movie game in that they actually used, like pictures. Photos.
Yeah, it's photos. A slideshow.
You're playing PowerPoint. They tried to do novel things, I'll give them that, but it didn't work.
No, it had a lot of issues. Like, I don't know, maybe a good idea,
nope.
But make a game of X-Files and even use the, like, people were all about this game. And if you put that, or all about this, this show, you put those same characters and that same type of story in there where you're seeking to find out what happened to Mulder and Scully. Like, that is a good idea, but they just did not execute it well.
Yeah, but
well,
you need
whatsoever.
To hire an animator and a visual artist to
Agreed.
Make a game, not
Agreed.
Take pictures.
It was too soon. They were trying to go for this weird level of immersion, and there just wasn't a good way to do that. And they sort of did their best, but then didn't really deliver. And, like, if they'd remade it today and had made it, like, a, you know, filmed almost like a movie-style, interactive, kind of choose-your-own-adventure virtual game, they might have been able to pull off what they were trying to do, but they just couldn't. There was no way.
It's a pretty appropriate game for X-Files to play, actually, when you look, or to make, when you look back. It's like, if X-Files was going to be a video game, this doesn't surprise me. That's what they made.
Yeah, it was straight up play an episode of, you know, of the television show.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was join us in making and creating this episode, and you be the detective this time. So,
yeah.
Cool idea. Wasn't executed well.
No, not at all.
But someone that did do a lot of executing was Wolverine in episode 46, X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
How did we have two X's in a row? That was rigged. I'm quitting the podcast.
Hey, you should wait till episode 47. There's an X in that one, too.
Oh,
there
no.
Is. Just not at the beginning.
Okay.
Thrice me snores.
Thrice me X. X-Men Mutant Apocalypse. That's what I'm fighting.
You can't talk.
X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
Say an S.
All right, Nolan, redeem yourself.
Oh, the game, it's about X-Men, the comic book.
I wanted to like this game, but then it wasn't what I thought it was going to be by any
it
means.
It was pretty good, actually, Kenny.
Nah.
I remember Nolan liking this and Kenny and I once again not caring for it. You could, the thing that I did like about this, do you remember, is that you had to play each of your X-Men characters initial stage, and mm-hmm. then you could pick any of the characters for the next few stages,
yep.
and then you came around at the end and had to play their unique stages again.
Yeah, they each had a final stage.
Yeah, so that was a novel way to actually set up the, mm-hmm. the gameplay and the story element.
And they all played differently. They had their own skill set, different movement, and like,
yeah, there were elements about that I respected, but overall I just couldn't, I didn't feel it. I don't know.
It all felt really stiff. I remember that, just really stiff. And while they do have some of their differences, a lot of them do just the same things. Punch,
Absolutely.
Kick. You know, a small special. It there was something where this one was another almost. Like, there were some good things about it. Even the artwork was kind of fun, but it was just very repetitive.
I agree. There's so many really good X-Men titles that when this one was just sort of almost good, I just couldn't fully get behind it. Now, you want a game that I could absolutely fully and completely get behind, and it kind of blew my mind, would jump to episode 47, Comic Zone.
This did blow everybody's mind.
This is the biggest surprise
yeah.
out of every single
Absolutely.
Game that we played.
I think it really was, because I don't think any of us knew kind of what we were getting into, and really unique game.
Well, I did know what I was getting into. This was in that Sega package that I had for PC that had Vector Man and Shining Force on it and some Sonic games. So I knew what I was getting into. I just never would have guessed you guys would love it that much. It's awesome.
Well, I had no clue what to expect. Never heard of this game in my life. But the way that they did it, with you being a character that goes into his own comic and then goes through the panels, it's genius. It wasn't the first game to do that, but I think, man...
No, they implemented it perfectly, though. The way it, like, broke the fourth wall and, like, the character actually interacted with the page.
So much charm.
And then your, you know, your pet rat and everything that he did. Ugh.
Wait, what's his name?
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on, guys.
Roadkill?
Roadkill.
Yeah. Roadkill.
Yes.
Shoutouts.
What a great game.
This is really strange, the order of these games. The X's and then both of those being about comics, and then this next one, Vector Man, was on the Sega collection I had. So episode 48 was Vector Man, and not quite there for me, or any of us, I don't think.
I think I liked this one more than either of you, but overall,
so
none of us actually really liked it.
It was so gray. It let me down because the Sega, or the Genesis, always had beautiful colors and lots of details, but Dustin said it's an ugly game.
I just thought the lead character was really fun. I don't know.
Really? And see, I remember thinking the exact opposite. Like, when you've got... And I know it's hard to compare to these characters, but these are other lead characters. When you've got Sonic, when you've got DK, when you've got Mario, when you've got Link, when you've got all these guys
Even
Earthworm Jim has this character that pulls you in and causes you to like them. Vector Man had none. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like the way he maneuvered. I thought the game was infinitely hard. I could not get past that first, I think it was the first boss with the plane that would fire down things on you. Like, the game was frustrating. I wasn't attracted to the lead character whatsoever. And so I don't think it ended up getting our new game plus status. But did 1942, that was for episode 49, we played this arcade classic where it's an airplane top-down shooter.
Seamless, like you really never know when the next stage starts.
Right, does it even have stages?
Maybe it's only one.
The only thing I remember about this game is being utterly frustrated that the boat moves faster than the plane. It doesn't make sense.
It's a fast boat, dude. It's a speedboat.
It makes no sense.
I remember looking forward to this game because I had played it in the arcade, but it's not the only one that is in this genre and this type. And so I was probably thinking that there's other games in this same series, in the same framework, where you're a jet fighter in one of the wars and you're firing vertically at the other ships. And there's some that just does it much better than this one. So I don't think this one appealed to either of us or any of us much at all.
I had some fun moments in it. It feels real arcadey, which can be nice. And the, like, full screen movement is always kind of fun. Like, it just keeps you really busy. I don't think that overall it was our favorite game.
The good thing it did bring out was that it reminded me of this N64 shooter that's very similar style, top-down, but it's in space and you're like a Gundam-looking thing. If someone can tell me the name of that game, I'll love you, because I've been wanting to play it, and it's so fun.
I remember you asking as a part of that episode,
too.
I'm like, you're
search,
still looking
dude.
For that title.
I need to find this game. It's so good.
So the next game we played, episode 51, if you're counting, I did skip an episode because we did our one-year anniversary, but that wasn't a specific game. It's a fun podcast title, though, so I'd encourage you guys to go back and listen to that one if you're wanting a little bit longer content. But episode 51... was The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Boom.
I had to slow down and even say it kind of epically because...
Yeah.
Boom.
You have to nod to it.
I did. I literally nodded while I was saying it. How did you know that?
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm watching webcams in your house.
Well, that's creepy.
Like, I mean, this game, we shouldn't have to say much. If you've played this game before, it's beautiful on all accounts. It's hard. Like, the puzzle aspect of being able to warp between the dark world and the light world while having to be at the right place on the map before you do so. Like, I mean, the game without a guide is difficult and will give you, dude, weeks and weeks and weeks of enjoyment and entertainment. But it's just a great game.
This one really is quintessential Zelda.
As a Zelda fan, it's not my favorite at all, but it's one of the greatest video games ever made. So that's what I'll say about it.
That's fair.
Are you guys scared?
Yeah, because I'm alone in the dark.
Hey, episode 52.
Was that a tag team segue?
It was. You need to get in on this. You're too slow.
All right, I'm going to get in on one.
This was a unique game.
Yeah, it was a horror game, I don't know the year it came out because I'm not looking at my show notes, but it's old.
My wife and I did a first play of this game because we wanted to, because it was a scary game. So we wanted to see if it actually scared us, and then we wanted, you know, you as the viewers to be in on that so you could watch that again on our YouTube channel. But we sat down thinking it wasn't going to be all that scary, and the introduction is so long as your character walks slowly up to the room in the attic that
those
you
footsteps.
Start in. But once you're there, the game actually gets terrifying pretty quickly.
I totally am on board with this one. I know that the age can be just too much for people. And maybe Kenny, I don't know if Kenny hated this or not, but I just love that genre, the horror video game thriller genre. And it's so fun to see where it started. And so it's not what you would expect, but I love it.
I don't generally like those. And generally, when there's a game that I can say, oh, holy polygons, like, it's just going to turn me off because of that era of, like, early 3D that just looked so terrible. But, man, I don't recall my reaction the week of, but, like, thinking back, this really is a good game.
See, we gave it New Game Plus status, but I remember it being conflicted because there are good qualities about it, but there's a learning curve there, and so
there is. There's some real quirky things.
Now thinking back, I'm not sure if it's for everyone, but for, you know, true gamers and people that are following us on this podcast, I would suggest that they go and play it just because it's a unique title, and you can tell the love that was put into this game. But not so much The Bard's Tale, episode 53, a game that had a lot of promise and not much delivery.
Yikes. We probably made some people mad. This is a very well-known title, loved by 5 people, but they love it very much. not having it was not fun.
No, it's that whole Dungeons & Dragons feel, but without the
fun.
But
done wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, done really poorly. The biggest problem here was them just dropping you in without any kind of context. Like, this is the kind of game that if I had put in the time to get into it, even despite it being like pre-3D and, you know, doing the really faux 3D of like a screen at a time, you move forward on a grid and can turn left and right and you see a screen at a time. This is one that if I ever, for some reason, hated myself enough to play the first 15 to 20 hours of the game, once I got used to it and got in it, I think I would have liked it.
If a game takes you 15 to 20 hours to enjoy,
that's what
it's
I'm saying.
Not worth.
It wasn't at all. The hill was way too huge.
But Kenny, you couldn't even find the market.
No, that's what I'm saying. Learning curve was too steep. Navigating in the world, maybe we're spoiled by better graphics. But
paper.
Like, yeah, it just, there were way too many things to knock about this game. At least going back and playing it today. Maybe if I'd have played it then. But I don't know. It's a big pill to swallow.
Pills are, you can do this. Pills are something that you wish you could have swallowed as you were on the...
No, I'm not stealing your...
Come on.
I'm not stealing your segue.
Slam dunk it, Kenny.
No, I'm... Okay.
LeBron just passed it.
Okay, you... Speaking of tails, you don't want to know what animal has tails?
Oh.
Oxen. Yeah, that's the quality of your normal segue, Dustin. And oxen are the game, are the animals that moved us along in our episode 54 game, The Oregon Trail.
I hate that this became a segue battle.
No, but like a bad segue battle. It's not even good.
Oregon Trail is a sick game.
Just a dime. Like, you played this game as a kid in the computer lab at your school, and any game that you can play while at school should get your New Game Plus status.
If you haven't played this game even after school, you need to get a life.
Well, do you remember how advanced this game was for its age? It's one of those old titles.
It's like
older
Apple II.
Older than most of the games we played, dude, and yet had even some moving, you know, images and some great choices that you could make.
And educational?
And somewhat educational, dude.
It's awesome.
Plus, you could give your friends a really hard time when they died of snake bites.
I thought you were going to say, plus, you could give your friends dysentery.
Plus, you could. I mean, maybe.
You know what's giving me dysentery?
Oh, no. That didn't work.
That didn't work at all.
These segues. So I'm just going to say it's episode 55. Herzog's Wait.
You can't pronounce it.
Try.
You're not even going to go close?
He just gave up halfway through Herzog's Way.
Herzog's Way.
Whatever, dude. I'm not German.
Herzog Zwei.
Yeah, you got to Germanize
which
it.
Which is a game that is probably Kenny's favorite game ever, but everyone
that
else
is not
would
true.
Know it sucks.
This was a great idea of a game. There were some good elements of it. Real-time strategy is fun, but real-time strategy doesn't work well on consoles. And it showed here, unfortunately.
Real-time tragedy. This game's not fun. This game... All right. I really appreciated what they were going for with the gameplay, where you can transform in your mech and whatnot. But the fact that you have to go to your base, pull up a menu, and then not know what you're doing because everything's cryptic...
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make it playable, and...
Way, way, way too menu-driven, for sure. Like, great idea.
There's a lot of potential.
Great, great idea. I definitely get why there's sort of a cult, pretty small but cult following that, like, was really into this game. But, isn't it?
Episode 56 was Super Mario RPG, and we had another guest on. Rabbit joined us to talk about one of her favorite games as a child. And so we talked about this game that... came out about the exact same time Super Mario 64 came out, and so this one was kind of just swept under the rug, I felt like.
Unfortunately.
It really was.
Unfortunately, it was, because...
Or fortunately.
I mean, it's in the title, Mario and RPG, and it's awesome.
I think Kenny and I lean more towards fortunately, because while it set it up as something that could be awesome, because it was Square and Nintendo joining forces... in front of our guests, I remember Kenny just straight up saying, I do not give this new game plus status. And causing a little bit of tension there.
The reason I'm totally for it, it's not like it's the best game ever, but it paved the way for Nintendo's amazing RPG series, Paper Mario and Mario & Luigi. So I respect it if for nothing else, because it started them thinking. It made Nintendo start thinking about other genres besides platformers and cute characters.
Yeah, there were elements of it that were fun. The like sort of 3D-ish in the world Mario stuff, but it gets way shown up by Mario 64. But again, I think it just in my mind it couldn't figure out what it was as a game or who it was appealing to, and it's like they tried to mesh things, and it was just oil and water to me. It just felt too forced.
It's a me, Space Invaders.
All right. That was good.
I'll take it.
No, you that's shouldn't. The worst
take
one.
Take that back to the store.
It really is the worst one. Somebody try again.
Episode 57 was the classic Space Invaders arcade game. And I'll tell you what the game is, and then we'll be done. It's just you shooting upwards at moving aliens, and that's it.
And awkwardly speeding up as you go.
Yeah, and sure, it set a lot of records and stuff, and it's fine, but it's just not much to look at today or enjoy. I remember all of us pretty much having that opinion.
Yeah, which is just rough because it's such a classic game, and I think it was the first in its genre. And so, yeah. Like, I've made jokes about it, and Nolan always says no, and I mean, I overdo it, but the reality is this was, I believe, if I recall correctly, coming out in 1978, it was the first shooter game, or at least one of those earliest
like that.
That was such a dominant force in that helped pave the way to all of these other games in that genre. But it's very bland going back to it, just very bland. Playing it in the arcade, I think we agreed, would be where the fun is, trying to top high scores, competing against friends. Playing it at home by yourself today, not so much.
Yeah,
because of its simplicity, we couldn't get behind that shooter. But a shooter that we did really like was episode 58, Doom.
Doom guy.
This was another one where I knew about it, hadn't played it too much, and just surprised me at how much fun I had coming back to it.
I think of all the like early shooters, and again, I'm not generally a shooter guy, but I think of all the early shooters that got popular, this one was probably my favorite.
I'm like seriously wanting to go play it some more, or at least Doom 2, because it's such a classic PC feel, and I love games like that. It's awesome.
Now, this is the one that has just been released again, right? Like,
it's a different game. Like, they didn't just, like, reskin it and re-release it.
It's a very different game. They rebooted the series came out to critical acclaim. People are all about this game, and I actually want to go play it now, and I'm not a first-person shooter kind of guy.
I'll definitely pick it up for sure, just because of all the hype and positive reviews.
Super fun game, and super fun that this is one of those games that got so popular that it helped really almost push internet culture in a lot of ways between... Mm. A being like fairly heavily shared / pirated, and then B being like developing a huge modding community in terms of map design and people logging on to like early internet just to upload WAD files and, you know, do their thing. It's definitely a classic that like earned itself quite the place in gaming history, and we all had lots of fun playing it too, which is huge.
And then the most recent game that we played and the last one that we will be discussing as a part of this second retro recap is Ninja Gaiden as a part of episode 59.
The champion, reigning champ. You need to beat my high score or get out.
No one's going to beat your high score because no one can beat this game with one life like you did, you freak.
Yeah, it was a difficult game, but a good kind of difficult. And, like, I don't know about you guys, but for an NES title, this was one of the ones that I thought did storytelling the best. Some of those awesome epic cutscenes, some fun mechanics in the game itself, some frustrating mechanics, but power-ups. Like, this was the most Super Nintendo-y feeling title that still was a classically Nintendo title for me, and... absolutely think that it's one that I think people ought to go play.
This is the one that we just agreed was so far advanced. I mean, so far ahead of its time. Like, it was a game that came out like early, or either early 90s, late 80s, and felt like it should have been late 90s. Just a like in storytelling and cutscenes and graphics and gameplay, all of it, except it was just a difficult game altogether. But I believe we still gave it our vote for New Game Plus status. So those are our games. And guys, I have one last question for you. Now that we just walked through that list fairly quickly, out of those last 31 games we played from episode 28 to episode 59, if you could go back and play only one of these games, which would it be?
Like, my answer is boring, but it's so expected and not a surprise at all.
You're just going to say StarCraft?
It'd be StarCraft. I'm sorry.
Over Earthbound, over...
Star Fox?
Now, if the question was, could you go back and, like, which one of them would you go back and play again for the first time? No, it probably still would be.
Yeah, no, and that's not even the question. So,
okay,
all right, fine. StarCraft. No, no, that is your selection, and you're sticking to it.
I know. I can't not. Unfortunately,
I am gonna have to say Doom, because it was one of those games that we played, and it's only happened a couple times where we've played it, and I was done. We recorded the episode, and we were done, but I still wanted to play the game some more. And even my favorite games like Zelda, like A Link to the Past, didn't do that for me. Not because it's not fun. I'm just saying, like, you know, I didn't have the urge to go back and play it. But Doom, I can see myself playing some more.
And mine would be Comics Zone.
Nice.
A spectacular game, took me by surprise, and brings back so many fond memories that I want to go back and experience some of them. So it's definitely a game that I'll come back to.
Yeah, that was a really fun episode. That would be a great one if someone missed it to go back and listen to the podcast.
as a part of each and every episode, we randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days as a part of our podcast. We're about to do that now. I just want to let you know, whatever game is selected from our Retro Master List, play this game with us and send us your thoughts, your commentary. You can do that via Twitter or Facebook, or even just email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to include your commentary as a part of the episode next week.
Also, don't forget, if it's a game that lends itself to it, feel free to let us know how far you've gotten in the game, a high score, anything sort of notable. It's always fun, at least the last couple episodes, to kind of bounce off your successes as our viewing audience against each other.
Spinning the randomizer now.
I'm hyped. I kind of missed this last week, not getting to do it.
I know this is always your favorite part of the episode.
It is. The noise that randomizer makes is so satisfying.
You've never heard it before. This game that we're playing this week is going to be a lot of fun because it was not a game that I played too much, but a game that I played enough to have some fond memories of. It was released on the arcade, the Genesis, the Game Gear, the Amiga, the Game Boy, the Super Nintendo, the Atari, dang, the PlayStation, the Saturn. It was released on virtually almost every single system. Came out in 1994, and the game is called Primal Rage.
Oh snap.
Is this that dinosaur game? That.
Yeah, it's a game, yep, where like mutant dinosaurs fight each other.
Fight each other?
That game is
That's
dope.
Awesome.
I haven't played this game in a long time.
Oh man, this game has some weird, odd memories. I remember it being gory, bloody, brutal, and really looking forward to playing Primal,
yeah,
Rage this week.
Like,
yeah, play with your kids.
An archaeologist, serial killer, didn't get enough of Street Fighter, made this game? I don't know. It's a weird one.
Do you think there's that kind of person out there, Kenny? An archaeologist serial killer?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, Kenny is that guy.
Guys, find us on social media and follow us if you're not yet. Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly via iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any place that provides podcasts. Subscribe to us so you're the first to get new Game Plus episodes. If you have just a moment, stop by our iTunes store and leave us a 5-star review, and we'd love to shout you out in the upcoming episode. And if you would like to follow us even closer, support us, and be a true part of the family, then we'd love for you to visit us on our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/NGP Podcast. You can find the links on our social media as well. We don't want our normal viewers to miss out on the primary content that we produce week to week, and so we'll never put that behind any kind of paywall. That's not what we're in this for. But there will be some additional content that we're able to produce from time to time that will only be available, or at least in advance be available, to those that are our patron supporters. So if you want to find out more about that, once again, that's patreon.com/NGP podcast.
We'd like to stop and thank our producers of New Game Plus, Bradley and Zion. They are our sole producers and they help us do what we do every week. So special thanks to them and to all of our patrons that support us.
Do join us next week as we play Primal Rage. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm a little terrified of fighting dinosaurs.
I'm Slippy.
And this has been a special retro recap episode of New Game Plus.
Oh, I thought we were going to do it one word at a time.
Crickets.
Bye, Kenny.